the opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I always say this, and you can back me on this because it's been my take since day one. Major League Baseball and the NFL do playoffs the right way, where if you make it to the playoffs, it feels like you earned something.
Yeah.
The NBA and the NHL playoffs are stupid because literally more than half the league makes the playoffs. What's the point of a regular season when the only way you miss the playoffs is if you're like the worst of the worst?
I want to shout out to the Houston Astros baseball team. Don't get down. Don't let these people diss you. Your great players, Altuve, Bregman. I mean, you're going to see. You don't have to steal signs. You're going to end up in the Super Bowl again this year.
I think you just sold some pay-per-views in Houston.
I hope so.
Good job.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. Also got at Jerry Bo Knows and at the producer Nick out here. There's the text line. You know the number for that. What an interesting first day between Bob Arum putting the Astros in the Super Bowl. And as someone put it, the Latino version of the Ennis Payne from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre on 290, who right now is Roughneck Dre.
No, I think it was a little more physical.
Well.
Did Josh throw a chair?
No. Well, I think if I recall, it was basically just Seth bitching at Josh.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, there weren't any chairs thrown.
There was a lot of them yelling.
Yeah.
Well,
that was
had
it.
Yelling.
It didn't get to physicality.
Believe this had me. One guy ripping his clothes off and throwing a chair.
And throwing his hat at the other guy.
Yes.
Jerry got some of it, which I just retweeted, but he did not get the...
He didn't get the good stuff.
No, he didn't get the hat throw or the chair throw. But... And did somebody finally pick up that chair? That's good. Yeah. So that's day one.
Yep.
Here in Vegas at the MGM Grand.
Carl Dukes has said he'll be here tomorrow. He'll join our show tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's very busy. He's very famous now, as most of you know. He is a multi-market megastar.
Yeah. He's going to get drunk.
Yeah, that's my guess.
And he wants to get started early, and maybe that's what the other guy wanted. He just wanted to get started early.
Possibly.
And... congratulations, he did. It's not that early, though. They're wrapping up now. He couldn't make it to 6 o'clock?
I guess
or
not.
4 o'clock out here. All right. So, a lot of good football talk today. And that fight. Yeah,
yep.
That's pretty entertaining, to say the least. I honestly don't know where to go from here. I guess we could talk about the real fight a little bit.
We could do that.
And... I think my best play on this is going to be the under 11 rounds at even money.
Okay.
Especially if Tyson Fury was telling the truth about how he plans to approach this fight. Somebody's getting knocked out here.
Agreed. I don't know if that'll be the case. That could just be talk. We hear this every time. Nobody wants to give away their game plan.
No, and certainly it's not going to sound sexy if he says, well, I'm just going to go out there and outbox him.
Yeah.
But he did change trainers. And, you know, maybe that helps him fight defensively and have some opportunities at a knockout. And if that's the case, then, boy, I like Tyson Fury a lot. But I am a little bit concerned.
Well, I think that Tyson Fury can have success in multiple ways. I think that Tyson Fury has – I mean, Tyson Fury can knock him out. We saw Ortiz give Wilder trouble.
Yeah.
And it's funny that this fight is happening now because – both these guys are coming off of, I don't want to say bad performances because they weren't bad performances, but maybe not the most impressive performances.
How about lackluster?
Yeah. So we saw Tyson Fury go to a decision with Otto Wallin in a fight where he got cut pretty bad. And, you know, that affected the fight, I think. And then we were out here for Wilder Ortiz 2, where, let's face it, Wilder knocks him out in the seventh round.
He was losing that fight.
I had to fight 6-0 for Ortiz. Yeah. I don't think Ortiz had lost a round when Wilder knocked him out. So both guys, not, you know, maybe not, maybe looking less invincible than we would think. And we're going to see which one of these guys is in better shape. And I think the you can make an argument for Fury, considering when he fought Wilder the first time. I mean, he was admittedly, like, basically he'd taken 3 years off and was coked up and 400 pounds and, you know, just not living a healthy lifestyle. And he's since fought, you know, he fought two warm-up fights before Wilder. And then, you know, he's fought two fights since. So maybe you could argue maybe he's peaking right now. Whereas Wilder, I mean, he's been fairly active. I'm not sure what the excuse was for Ortiz. He's just not a great technical boxer. But my goodness, that magic trick power is so real and so terrifying. It makes any fight he's in interesting.
Yeah, and the other thing I like about that, I just like it when big guys fight. And both these guys are not just heavyweights; they're big guys. They're tall guys. They're strong guys, and I can't wait. I think it's going to be awesome. And I like Fury in the fight, but I think the best play for me is the under 11 rounds. I do feel like there'll be a knockout this time.
Okay,
and
I'm with you.
And I don't know who it's going to be. I'm probably going to bet Fury too because he's a plus number right now.
Yeah, he's an underdog,
which I like. And you know, usually I won't bet a match unless I like the underdog.
So do you bet Fury by knockout?
Yeah.
Because that's where you'll get the juice.
Right, and I think that's the play. So if
– I'll say this. If you want by knockout, I think you can bet both guys by knockout and get a plus number on both. You know, you're obviously minimizing your profits.
Well, and so is that a better bet than under 11 rounds is the question in terms of return. So, I'd have to go look because I don't have the numbers right in front of me. 713-780-ESPN. We mentioned Jadeveon Clowney earlier. Apparently, his hope is to get a market-setting contract.
Okay. Well,
along with the Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack lines.
Well, listen, Jadeveon Clowney can hope. I mean, that's what I'll say. Do I think Jadeveon Clowney deserves the same money that Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack get? I do not. But if a team is willing to pay it, good for him.
Yeah, I don't know who would be willing to pay him that, but there's teams that have cap room and money.
Yeah.
I don't think if his goal is to get paid like that and be on a contender.
He's not going to be on a contender.
No, the Seahawks aren't paying him that.
No.
There's no question. But
and I think the Seahawks ended up being happy with what they got out of Clowney. I think he ended up being a positive for them. Like the sack numbers, at per usual, weren't there. But, I mean, you watch their games, and just like here, even when he doesn't get numbers, he's being double and triple teamed. He's opening up numbers for other people. He's clearly an impact pass rusher. Will someone pay top dollar for that? My guess is no. Will they pay him healthily? Sure. He's going to get good money. I just don't think he'll get Khalil Mack money.
And I don't think he should.
And Aaron Donald's the best. I mean,
both those guys are significantly better than
him. Yeah. Aaron Donald has maybe been the best player in the league over the last 5 years. If you said just give me one player over the last 5 years, it might be him.
I think you can make a real strong case for that. I wouldn't argue with you on that too much. But, you know, what we always say, when it's a guy's time,
yes,
he's going to get paid. And do you think Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson?
Oh, God, no.
But he might get paid more because it's his time. And I think it's okay with quarterbacks. I don't know that I find it okay with defensive players, and I don't know why, because that's not. Yeah, I think the quarterback is the one guy that you know.
Well, because Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald in the last 10 years have a combined 0 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, well, that's.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
I think the one guy who got paid like that does is Von Miller.
Yeah.
He won one. But how many guys do?
It's rare.
I mean, mentioned the best.
Seattle let all their guys, the guys that won with them, they let them all go get money elsewhere.
Yeah, because they couldn't afford to pay all of them. And. You know, that,
Bobby Wagner, I guess, got his money.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, Earl Thomas did it first, and then it got kind of
But they didn't want to pay Earl Thomas, you know, the big money.
Right, right. Which is why he wound up gone, too.
Yep.
So, all right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show, 713-780-3776. So are we gonna censure our friend over there for tomorrow's show?
He's censured, certainly.
Okay, so.
I think Judy's censuring him now.
Oh, she's imitating what he was doing, which is kind of funny. So, guy basically was shadow boxing. And
I wish this other dude would have got up and just whooped his ass. I wish it would have gone full blown.
Yeah, the other guy quickly did his best to defuse it. He was actually trying to be professional.
I don't want that. I wanted him to go at it.
Yeah, I think once the other guy stood up, that's where you want them both standing up.
Yeah.
But – apparently he didn't want to play.
If it's going to go, let's go.
Yeah, let's not have it one way. We want the damn brawl to go the whole way. So here's some. Here are the five largest defensive contracts right now.
Okay.
Donald, 6 years, 135, 22.5 a year. Mack, 6 years, 141, which is 23.5 a year. DeMarcus Lawrence, 5, 105, 21 a year. Frank Clark, 5 years, 20.8 per year. Von Miller, 6 years, 19.03 per year.
You think Clowney breaks that group?
I don't think he should. There's not a single guy on there that I would take Clowney over. Not even Frank Clark. He's probably the closest.
I might take him over some of those guys going forward. Like, do I think he's got more in the tank than Von Miller going forward? Maybe.
But if you ask me who I'd rather have, like, right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's going to get paid like that.
Well, good for him. Sucks for whoever pays him, but.
Yeah, well, not really. I mean,
the Bengals got money to spend.
Yeah. Bengals will get themselves a player who.
And then you know what? You know what the Bengals can say? Hey, look at us. We're trying to make a contender here, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, we're going after Jadeveon Clowney. We're going to pay him a whole bunch of money, and we're still going to be the Bengals. All right.
Or the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders are a team that's got money to spend.
Yeah,
and they could use some star players coming into Vegas.
Well, and that's the thing. I think now that they're in Vegas and they're going to have this new stadium, they can do that because one of the big problems was they didn't actually have real cash to spend.
And if they, I mean, but then it's if you didn't want to pay Khalil Mack or now you're going to pay Jadeveon Clowney, that seems kind of dumb.
Yeah, because wouldn't you rather have Khalil Mack?
Of course.
I saw a speculation that the Bears might try to trade Khalil Mack for the second pick of the draft.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe there's something about that guy we just don't know. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
Boom!
How the hell did these people who are running for office get my damn phone number?
Your wife gave it to them.
No, I don't think so.
Are they Democrats?
Not this. I don't think this one is.
Oh. Well, you gave it to them.
Can we count on you to vote for this person on March 3rd? No, you can't.
Why not?
And because I actually like the person that they're running against.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think I've told you my card when it comes to local I really don't look much at parties.
Yeah.
It tends to lean more Republicans than Democrats, but it's usually pretty close. But I'm pretty much getting to the point where these people who are texting me to vote for their person just going the other way. Because
if you text, you're out.
I did not ask for this. I do not want to be bothered. I don't want your text popping up in the middle of my work. I'm fairly irritated with this. And I don't know when this became legal, where people on campaigns can do that. But, I mean, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Because all it does is irritate me. Just like Bernie Press is irritating me. I don't need your press releases, Bernie Sanders.
On a happier note, your Cougs got the job done last night.
Boy, did they.
Coug House.
I actually I saw that number at 10.5. I'm like, man, that's way too much. They don't blow people out.
Yeah.
The only team they've blown out really all year was Wichita.
And, Tulsa's a tough team to blow out.
Yeah, and no, they blew them out. So I'm hoping that all the Blitzers who won tickets and went to that had a good time last night.
Yeah, I had put together last week for RJ, I'd sent him basically my updated bracket, like who I think was in, who I thought was out. And it was last night was a big night for teams on the bubble. So Providence gets a win over Georgetown, both teams on the bubble. Really bad loss for Georgetown. Really good win for Providence. Mississippi State got a win over South Carolina that was they didn't cover, but right. they really needed. North Carolina State got a season-defining win against Duke. You talk about needing a win like that for your resume, and honestly, that also probably keeps Duke off any chance of getting a one seed.
Yeah.
Indiana got a win last night over Minnesota, who they're on the wrong side of a bubble loss. Cincinnati, pretty bad loss for their hopes last night, and that's something with the American Conference, like, you know, how many teams are actually going to get in from that conference. The number's shrinking.
I think it is.
I think that at this point
I think Houston would be in after that. I don't know that there's.
I think Wichita is still on the right side of the bubble.
But would you be shocked if they didn't make it?
No.
As of today?
No.
I wouldn't either.
But, I mean, Wichita is certainly on the bubble. And they're playing South Florida tonight. A game that I saw, they were already down early. I mean, it was like 8-2 or something like that, but they were down.
At South Florida?
At South Florida.
That's not the easiest place to play.
Yeah.
I mean, South Florida is not very good, but they tend
to. No, it's at Wichita because they're 10-point favorites.
Oh, well, then never mind. Forget what I said.
Right now I would say the American. God, besides, I mean, UH is, they're a lock. They're the best team in the conference, I think. I don't know who else I feel
it's probably going to be
strongly about.
UH and whoever wins the tournament, assuming UH doesn't.
Yeah, because I don't feel good right now about Cincinnati's chances after last night. That's one that's going to be very difficult for them to get past. And then who else was a loser yesterday? Oh, Alabama. But losing to A&M.
Yeah. Oh, great call on that one, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, but Alabama.
We were listening to some of that on the way from Genius to the airport.
Yeah, they were not in a position where they could afford to lose that game. So, yeah, big things happening on the bubble.
So, on your bracket, how many AAC teams do you have?
Well, let me pull it up.
Before last night.
I put together on the 17th, which was Tuesday. I had Wichita in. I had Cincy as one of my last four in. And I had Wichita as one of my last four byes. And then UH. That's it. So, yeah, I would say right now, Cincy, I had them as last four in. They would, if I redid this, they'd be off for sure. Because I had teams like Indiana out, and they won yesterday. Minnesota, I had out. So, yeah, there's some shifts going on. Memphis is the highest-rated team I didn't have in from the AAC. And they're a good ways down the out list, so they've got some real work to do.
Well, they don't have a ton of wins that you look at and say. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I think they were, going in, obviously the most talented team. But it hasn't worked out that way.
No. And there's some big games tonight. You know, the Iowa-Ohio State game is big just for seeding purposes. Both those teams likely in the tournament, although with so many Big Ten teams, you can ill afford to lose a home game, because the teams that lose home games, people are like, uh-oh, no, that's not supposed to be happening. But as far as teams that are kind of bubbling right now, Arizona State is one. They're hosting Oregon tonight. USC is a bubble team. They're at Arizona State, or at Colorado. I think that's about it for the bubbly teams today. Maybe St. Mary's. St. Mary's plays, but they've got almost no shot of losing tonight. So, but there's some games that matter tonight. If you're mostly West Coast teams playing on Thursday, but yesterday there was a ton of those games, and there's going to be a ton more this weekend of big games.
Yeah, if you're Memphis, you still have two games with UH that could help your resume. I mean, there's still some time. I don't know that they're going to win both of those.
I'm almost sure they're not going to win both of those. But, I mean, and Memphis, to be fair, Memphis lost the best freshman in the country, yeah, like basically immediately. So their preseason expectations, it was always going to be difficult for them to live up to that. They've got,
although they still had a really strong group coming in. I still thought they'd be better than this.
Yeah.
If they had him, obviously, I think they're a much different team.
Their best wins right now, they've got a road win at Tennessee. They've got a neutral win over North Carolina State, who's also a bubble team.
Yeah.
They've got a home win against Cincinnati, home win against Temple. Yeah, they need to win. You know, they've got a couple. At SMU would help them quite a bit. Wichita would help them. Either UH game, but particularly at UH,
yeah,
would go a long way for them. That's the last game of the season for them.
Lamont says, if UH wins the tourney, will the cheating media have their eyes on Sampson? Thanks, Astros.
Probably.
Yeah, you know what? Kelvin Sampson has done a really good job of repairing his image nationally. And they were a real feel-good story last year. And I think I don't see that going anywhere.
My problem with UH,
again, the Astros were a good feel-good story, too.
My problem with UH is they're boring to me. They're not fun to watch. They're really good, but like, I'm not a guy who's like, oh, I can't wait to see guys rotate on D and rebound really hard. Like, they just, last year they were super fun to watch,
and
this year less. But they might be a better team this year.
Well, I don't know if they're a better team. They're certainly more talented. I still think next year is going to be their year because they're so young. And last year's team, you had two senior guys who were, had been there the whole time, 4 years, Galen Robinson and Davis, and then you had Armani Brooks. I mean, they were a fun three-point shooting team. This team's not that. They're fun in a different way, and they're very good. And Caleb Mills is going to be the next Rob Gray.
But they're also a team, when you dig through their resume and you say, what are their great wins?
It's not like last year. Last year's resume, they were in the tournament before conference, so they had wins over LSU and Utah State and a bunch of other really solid Oklahoma State. They lost that game this year.
Best win by far is at Wichita. There's not a lot else that jumps out at you.
Washington and Hawaii was a
But Washington's not even going to make the tournament now.
No.
All the shine's off that win.
No, it was a good win at the time, but yeah. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I love that song. Yeah, I still have, I think this was before your time when The Offspring came through and we were still over in the old place, and they were doing a thing at KRBE. And they did a little, it was Noodles and Dex. They just did a acoustic version.
Noodles and Dex?
Yeah. Offspring.
Noodles.
but they did a little, acoustic version of that, and a couple other songs that are really good, and I still have those somewhere.
Nice.
Because we recorded them, and it was just a cool thing, and then we interviewed them afterwards. It was a lot of fun. We talk a little college football for a minute?
Sure.
Because Sportsnot did the college football head coaches who will be under the most pressure in 2020. I'm betting you can guess. I mean, there's five of them, and they're all Power Fives.
Okay.
Betting you can guess at least three of them.
Clay Helton.
Clay Helton is definitely on the list. That's an easy one. And obviously, he's going to have a big season. Although, they don't seem inclined to spend any money there anymore.
Scott Frost.
Scott Frost is on the list. Ding, 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 ding.
Is.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, at some point, you have to see some progress there, right? And I don't think we've seen it.
Is Tommy Herman on the list?
Thom Herman is indeed on the list.
Okay, that's not surprising.
Okay, cool. Hook him. Yeah, you're three for three. Sorry,
Ben. I had to go. Is Summy on the list?
Nope.
Okay. Did they already fire him?
Nope.
All right. Will Muschamp.
Not on the list. That's strike two. Hmm. I mean, I should have said relevant Power Five programs.
Manny Diaz?
Manny Diaz is definitely on the list. That's four. You're missing one guy. What? I'll give
Chip
you.
Kelly?
I was going to give you a hint. Nope, that wasn't it. Jeremy Pruitt.
Okay.
I was going to tell you, what team do we always talk about that should be better that never is?
Yeah.
In the SEC, and it's Tennessee.
Yeah.
But,
You know who else should be? I mean, Dana Holgorsen should be.
I was going to mention Dana Holgorsen should be on that list.
I mean, I get that, you know, it takes some time to build something, but, boy, you talk about two steps forward and four steps back. That's what happened. I mean, he bet on a guy who basically spurned him, and now you look like you wasted one season already, and it doesn't look like next season is going to somehow be significantly better.
And you're counting on all these transfers, and the one that was supposed to be the best, you already kicked off the team.
Yeah, it's not good right
and
now.
And their schedule next year, Rice to open. That should be fine. At Washington State. Now, that I don't know what to make of that because Leach is gone, so who knows. At Memphis, that's never easy. North Texas, Tulane, at BYU. Listen to this stretch. At BYU, at Navy, UCF, at Cincinnati. And then USF, at SMU, Tulsa. And then they have the American Championship listed on their schedule.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that next year.
No. But, I mean, I think bowl eligibility is going to be a challenge for them next year.
I'm sure it will be.
No question. But, yeah, I think
I bet Tillman is pissed.
Yeah, well.
And you like how when I think of UH football, I just like act like Tillman's like the owner or something?
Well, he kind of is.
It's really funny.
I mean, he is. It's like he owns the franchise. And you know he's expecting more than that.
Yep.
And, I mean, I think he's giving him a mulligan on the first year, but you can't give him a mulligan on 2 years.
No.
So we'll see. I mean, I like Dana a lot. I think the whole thing comes down to they've got to get better talent on defense, which I think they'll have. But
and they got to find a quarterback.
And, yeah, and I think I'm less worried about that just because his track record is pretty good at getting guys who – you know, turning guys into quarterbacks that you don't really think much of. So he'll need to do that. But someone wants to know, should Brian Kelly be on that list? I don't think so. I mean, what?
Depends on what your expectations are. I think if you've got unrealistic expectations for that program, then I guess so. But who are you going to hire that's better? That's to me like Michigan fan saying we want to fire Jim Harbaugh. It's like, really? Jim Harbaugh wins 10 games a year, bro. Remember what the alternative was, you know?
Agreed. And that's,
you want to go back to the Rich Rod days or Brady Hoke? Is that maybe you ought to appreciate what you got?
Yeah, they kind of forget about that, though. Yeah, it's like, hey, we're Michigan, we should be Alabama.
It's an era where it's difficult for teams that aren't in the southern part of the U.S. to really, you know, be great because it's tougher to recruit there.
I think it's tougher for a lot of them to be great. Like Ohio State can match up with.
Of course,
yeah,
Ohio State, Michigan, and Notre Dame should be exceptions.
But I don't know that I don't know that all three of those can.
Right. That's hard for them all to be good at once. And so, Ohio State's the one right now.
Yeah, and you know, I think Michigan's had some talented teams. They're just, you know, he just hasn't been able to get over the hump with them. I think you got to stick with the guy though.
Yeah.
And you know, but we were talking about Scott Frost on that list and expectations at Nebraska. That's another school that got rid of a guy that was winning 9 games every year.
Yep.
And now they bottomed out, and I thought he was a really good hire for that, but doesn't mean it's going to work out.
The problem
like
is
Tom Herman may not work
Nebraska's
out.
Nebraska's probably never going to be what they were again, and it's difficult for fan bases and boosters to come to grips with that. But it's highly unlikely that Nebraska football will ever be the best football program in the country, right, which it was for a good decade.
Tell
probably.
That to Husker Joe, who's still putting $1 million into the program.
Right. I get it. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, my $1 million used to buy me national championships.
Right, but times have changed.
And now you're giving me seasons where we don't make bowl games.
Times have changed.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I can. I mean, that's why that's their expectations. It just doesn't mean they're realistic.
And there's, I mean, even Arkansas, the way they spend money, like Arkansas is still like fully expecting that they're going to be relevant again. I just don't know if it's possible.
It's, well, I think until Nick Saban's gone, it's going to be hard for anybody. Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to crack that top two of, or top three, really. I throw Auburn in there. Because year in, year out, Auburn or LSU is going to be good.
Yeah.
To go with Alabama. It's hard enough to crack that. But much less to get to the top of that second group.
Very difficult.
Get over the A&M dividing line, as we like to call it. And I think once Saban's gone, then maybe Alabama's not Alabama anymore. Then maybe there's room for somebody to move up. But I don't see it right now, and especially for Arkansas.
Well, it seems a lot more likely to be A&M or a Mississippi school who've been at least knocking on the door the past several years than an Arkansas team that can't win a conference game. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. So, I mean, they've got to get to the top of that group first.
Yeah.
And I think that's a few years off, even if everything goes perfect. And, I mean, I don't know if they've gotten the right guy either. You know, that's the other thing. Hey, I got to give something away. How about at 6:42? Oh, it's not a live giveaway? Okay, never mind. Then I'm not going to give it away. Now, here we go.
Okay.
Undefeated heavyweights battle for the world title as Deontay Bronze Bomber Wilder squares off against Tyson the Gypsy King Fury 2. ESPN 97.5 wants to give one lucky winner an autographed glove signed by each fighter. Head to our ESPN 97.5 Twitter page, find, like, and retweet the boxing glove post for your chance to win. And don't miss Wilder versus Fury live on Saturday, February 22nd, only on pay-per-view.
Okay. Pay-per-view.
So that's he's really a gypsy king.
His dad was a gypsy king. His grandfather was the gypsy king.
See, now I've got that.
Now he's the gypsy king.
Now I've got that April Wine song, Sign of the Gypsy Queen, going through my head. Thanks. So I need to know who the gypsy queen is.
I wish I could be the gypsy king.
Yeah, that is a cool name.
It's a cool name, and plus you beat up all the other people, like, in your camp.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass, too. Like, you remember, oh, you haven't seen Peaky Blinders. There's a Gypsy King on Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, I've not gotten that far yet. Well, maybe I have gotten that far. I'm well into
If you're in season one, you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'm well into season two now.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe so.
No, I don't think I've gotten
The guy who's his son is, I think maybe it's season three you'll start to find out about him.
Okay. No, I just got to where Tom Hardy's on the cast.
Yeah, you're a season away from the Gypsy King.
Okay. But, I mean,
the boxer.
It's obvious something is coming there with the whole Gypsy bit, which is cool. I'm really liking the show now. It took me a while, but once I got into it, like, now that's my – when I'm at home working from home during the day, that's what I watch while I'm working. So I'll be caught up on it pretty quickly. And I can't get the wife – the wife kind of wants to watch it. So I told her while I'm gone this week, she needs to catch up on Jack Taylor, and she needs to catch up on that. So that if she wants to watch it.
Oh, my.
That was a good one.
Thank you. Especially for this late in the show.
Yeah, late in the game, man. It's that's a score. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show, as we only have one segment left with a little Hoffman on Hollywood. And good job, Aaron, pulling that song out. Been a weird freaking day, man. But a fun one. One segment to go. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder versus Fury 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go here from the MGM Grand. And then we'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Apparently we missed a car chase in town today, which sucks because I feel like our play-by-play of car chases is pretty outstanding. But we did get to witness an almost fight, so there's that.
That's always good.
Yeah, I did tweet out Jerry Bowe's video of it, but he didn't get the best part because we were too busy actually trying to do a show than to pay attention. But anyway, let's wrap the show up the way we always do on Thursday with a little Hoffman on Hollywood.
Well, we talked yesterday about the Planet of the Apes reboot possibility.
Yes, not a fan.
And it turns out, well, let's hold off. Maybe not a total reboot, but just another sequel.
I'm okay with that.
They said that this could actually be a sequel to 2017's War for the Planet of the Apes because they want to continue following the saga of Caesar, the ape.
I love Caesar.
Caesar's I do too.
I didn't really like the last movie. I thought it was kind of the weakest of the group. But the other two,
it was.
The other two were really good.
It says, don't worry, I won't ruin the surprise, but it's safe to say Caesar's legacy will continue. There were rumors that this would be a total reboot of the franchise. That is not the case.
Okay.
So that's a...
As long as Caesar...
And sigh of relief.
The same actor and everything, then I'm down.
You know how there used to be the 5 degrees or 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was 7 degrees.
Okay, well...
Or 6 degrees.
6 degrees, okay. Well...
Because it was based on the 6 degrees of separation thing.
Okay, well now he's no longer the most connected. At least there's... Some of these Bollywood actors are like ridiculously connected because the same 10 people are in every movie there. But the most 5 central actors now... The most connected actors, at least in American movies, Christopher Lee, Michael Caine, Harvey Keitel, Christopher Plummer, and Robert De Niro.
Wow.
So Kevin Bacon, no longer one of the 5 most connected guys anymore.
Let's see what's going on over here. Bob Arum was getting interviewed with someone in his lap.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, breaking news. Bob Arum has someone in his lap.
He had to stand up, too.
Stormy Daniels. She has decided that she figured out Michael Avenatti was a monster when he represented her against Donald Trump and admits she celebrated when he was found guilty of trying to extort $25 million from Nike. She said, I had definitely figured out what a monster he was. Daniel said while her initial reaction was high five, yes, she started feeling different a few days later, saying she felt really sad. Avenatti gained fame as Daniel's lawyer, who sued to get her out of a $150,000 hush money agreement she made with the president. He will also stand trial in New York for allegedly stealing $300,000 from Stormy Daniels. So who thought Stormy Daniels had $300,000 laying around? Good for her.
No, not anymore.
Well, yeah. Avenatti was convicted in New York on Friday of honest services fraud, extortion, and interstate communications with intent to extort. He was charged in March 2019 after threatening to use his media access to hurt Nike's reputation and stock price unless they paid him $25 million. Jeez. Prosecutor said he was drowning in $10 million of personal debt at the time. Not great.
No.
And there's a picture of Stormy Daniels, who I'll say, for her age... Still strong.
Yeah, she's held up well.
Good for her.
A solid veteran, one might say.
Yes. Saved by the Bell, which I was never... I'm of the age of people who watched Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, it was after me. So
I never watched Saved by the Bell. I was never into that show, but...
All I know is Screech became a porn star.
It was very popular.
Yeah.
And Lark Voorhees played Lisa Turtle on the show. They're doing a reunion, a reboot of the show, which I think is a horrible idea. And she was not invited. She was the only cast member not invited. I mean, if they invited that guy, the porno guy,
yeah,
who apparently everybody hated, this is a pretty big deal. But she has...
So she's the Aubrey Huff of...
She has bipolar disorder.
Oh.
And they said that maybe it would be difficult for her to deal with her. She said, with that in mind, I'm truly thankful for having had the chance to work on a show that's been so successful. And it's nice to see them all getting back together even after all these years. And finally, I don't know if this is a show I'll be interested in or not, but I think I'm going to. I'm going to try it. HBO has released a trailer for BeForeigners. Have you heard of this?
No, I've been. I mean, they've been releasing a lot of trailers for cool-looking stuff, so I don't know if I've seen it or not.
Six-part sci-fi drama debuted in Norway last year and is now going to begin a U.S. run. It's the first Norwegian-language series produced by HBO Europe. Explores a world in which people from the Stone Age, the Viking Age, and the 19th century are mysteriously transported into modern-day Norway. They integrate into society, like, for example, an 11th-century shield maiden-turned-investigator played by Krista Kosonen, while others remain enemies of the people. There's also apparently a killer on the loose.
That sounds interesting.
I'll watch. Yeah. I mean, I like Vikings living in modern times. I'm for that.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not crazy about subtitles, I'll give it a try at least. And it's only six episodes. I can deal with that.
Yeah, there's also a show with John Turturro that's like an alternate reality Nazi thing that looks pretty interesting that HBO's going to have. So.
And I finally watched Jojo Rabbit on the plane last night.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
It's worth a watch.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. And it's clever. It's a good movie.
I'm going to watch it on the way home. I wanted to give Joker another try, and I did. And I'm gaining an appreciation for it on the third watch. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Want to thank Aaron for taking care of us back in studio. Nikki Six Sharara for being great out here as always. Jerry Bowe, he knows.
Bo Cephas.
Appreciate you guys taking care of us. Nice to have help out here. It really is. You guys are the best. Hoffman, you were damn good today.
Of course I was.
You know, except for your salary cap patron. I was all right. And hopefully tomorrow I'll be even better. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.